Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight, episode 30. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into Gotham City, as always, is...
DFJ and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen...
We have 10 episodes left.
It's the end of an era. We have 10 episodes left until this show is done.
It will be a sad day, but it will be a good one as well, so... Because then that means something new will start at some point.
Oh, yes. Something super! Maybe.
Where's that damn man? Where's my kryptonite?
He's never around when you need him. Oh, boy. Yeah, so we are continuing on with Batman Beyond. And, there are some good episodes today, and a couple of just meh episodes today. I don't know what it is about this show. I love it in general and overall, but wow, between this episode and next time, episode 31, there are a number of stinkers, and it's kind of sad.
It could be because there's this thing called Season 2 Space Fillers.
Yeah, that's true. That's
because true. Season 2s always get, like, oh, it's get a little random.
Yeah. So let's see what else is going on. Over in Batman Beyond 2.0, we are, as of this recording, we are reaching the climax of... the Batman 7-part story inside the 2.0 comic written by Kyle Higgins, art by Tony Silas, colors by Emilio Lopez. It's amazing what they're doing with Batman Beyond 2.0. Basically, take the events of Return of the Joker and figure out what happens in between that and epilogue, and that's what Batman Beyond 2.0 is at this point, and it's just absolutely amazing. It's very well done, and probably the only time I don't mind Man-Bat.
Yeah, that's about the only time they've used him creatively in the last year and a half of the new 52.
Yeah.
So I think we'll get on with this episode and jump into the first episode of the night.
Party time!
Yeah, all right!
Nice ride, Scab. Where'd you get it?
My grades were good, so my folks bought me a car.
Let's take it out for a spin.
You got it. Who's hungry?
Welcome to Beefy Burger. May I take your order, please?
2 dozen burgers, fries, a couple gallons of shakes, and a big beefer to go.
60 units, please.
But Beefy says it's on the house.
Sir, I really can't...
says.
Some kind of military vehicle. Real fast and maneuverable.
So stop them.
First up of the night is Joyride. This episode, a small gang of Jokers ride out of Gotham City on their way to initiate Lee, a new member of the gang. On their way out, they buzzed by a highly advanced flying vehicle that races overhead. Though they are startled, the Jokers continue on.
This episode, I like it, but I don't have, like, oh my god, this episode is so awesome feeling from it. This is kind of like, and I know you're probably going to say blasphemy when I say this, but this to me is kind of like Joker's Millions from BTIS. It's just one of those Joker episodes that is just there. While Joker's Millions was a really good episode, I just find this one to be, oh, okay, they're going to initiate somebody new, and hey, here's a twist at the end. Because Lee, the gang initiation person, the one that wants to be initiated, he constantly asks them, well, but Batman only has this, and you have this giant... He constantly makes, you know, comparisons between the Jokers have too much power, and they're going to basically wipe somebody out with that power, and that person can't defend themselves properly. So you can immediately tell that the person that they're going to initiate doesn't really want to be part of the gang. And only the Jokers would be that stupid to take a nuclear vehicle on a joyride.
Oh, yeah, well, they're... there for the fun. It's fun time.
Yes. What I did like most of all about this episode, I thought it was very interesting, very awesome. It's not something you see Terry do often, but because his wings got damaged, it's nice seeing him swing on bat grapples.
Yeah, it was entirely different.
Yes, I thought that was really, really cool because I believe the bat grapples come right out of the suit. They're basically built. He's not carrying anything, and then, you know,
they're built into the wrists.
Yeah, it's kind of like Spidey's web shooters, and kind of like the batarangs also shoot out of the suit as well. Absolutely loved it though. I thought that was a nice nod to the old series with, hey, this is how we used to do it, kids, when we didn't have flying wings. Overall, this is an action-packed episode, but it has no real story. Sure, they have to go get this vehicle back from the Jokers and stop it before it explodes and destroys half the city. That's not really a story in my mind. I mean, it's not like a compelling story at all. It's more so that, hey, here's this version of the Joker's gang, and let's use them as the villain of the week. I don't know. What about you? What were your thoughts on this one?
I think it's kind of almost a throwaway, but almost not.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly
different. It's I can kind of see also that they were trying to tackle the, you know, gang initiation type thing within the episode with the Lee character. And then you have, you know, typical gang trying to cause havoc, and then in this case it happens to be with a nuclear vehicle. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have any opinion of it because it's not one I care to watch in general. I tend to watch more of the ones where there's some calling to like an either a new villain that's unique to the Rogues Gallery of Terry or to Bruce's Rogues Gallery.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's just one of those things where it just doesn't really do it for me at all. I mean, it's a nice little episode. It's a nice little, hey, here's a villain of the week type episode, and you can enjoy it, and if you like, or you don't have to watch it if you don't want to. It's, I don't know, it's just one of those things where I will say I did like the designs on the Jokers, on each of the individual Jokers, and I do like how this show is showing you multiple versions of them, because if you look at that image, you have every different kind of Joker. You got one that kind of, I don't know if Bruce Timm and company did this on purpose, but the one guy with basically the Harley-like hat that it's green on one side and blue on the other.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Megavolt from Darkwing Duck in his design. And obviously the Joker leader, who was voiced by Bruce Timm, is obviously meant to resemble the original Joker. But yeah, I mean, there were no real animation problems here. I did enjoy the music in the episode, but as far as the overall story and plot, it's just kind of there. There's no real substance to it, and that was kind of disappointing.
The only thing that's kind of interesting is when you get into the continuity of it, they say that the skeleton at the bottom of the mineshaft is presumably that of the Joker, as it's wearing a boutonniere. But in the film, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, they tell that Joker was buried in the ruins of Arkham Asylum, which, if you watch the animatic on the DVD, it shows Bruce actually walking into Arkham, and you see the, and he's an old man, and you see all of the tombs for, like, the Riddler, Poison Ivy, Two-Face, and all the other characters, and then you see the Joker's body hanging up, from the ceiling with laughter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. With some of the production notes, this was the first episode to be produced for season 2. A shot of the Batmobile under the limelight and the revealing shot of Terry emerging from the shadows dressed as Batman confer to this episode as a quote-unquote premiere feeling. I did like that, and I will say that I did notice a lot in this episode that Terry, they're basically emulating several times when Bruce would appear as Batman. And the other thing is, Terry, I believe it's in this episode. Yeah, it is. He uses something I've never seen him do before to this point. His belt is his own utility belt, because it has, inside his belt buckle, has a call signal for the Batmobile.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
It was like, wow. That was pretty awesome. For trivia, we have, though Scab is first seen in Rebirth Part 1, this is the first time he's been named. This episode introduces the tease. When Batman first encounters the Joker, Scab rolls down the window and says, "Hey, Bats, want a race?" In the Batman Animated Series episode, Harley's Holiday, Harley Quinn says the same exact line when Batman and Robin pull up beside her car. So that's a nice little nod.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with the voice cast for this episode is you have Wendy Malick who was on Just Shoot Me. She's been on a number of other things. She, let's see here. She was, I believe, no, she wasn't in Will and Grace. She's done numerous amounts of voice roles. She's currently in Hot in Cleveland. She's been in Brother Bear 2. She was in Confessions of a Shopaholic. Let's see, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel. For TV, she was in Baywatch. She was on Kate and Ally. She was more recently on The X-Files in 98. Just Shoot Me. Like I said, she was in Frasier for a couple episodes. She was in Law and Order. The last most recent thing, 2010 to present, she's in Hot in Cleveland. But, I mean, she's a really, really cool actress. So, very, very awesome to see her do a voice. And her voice is one of those ones that's kind of always kind of, you kind of recognize it once you hear it. And you have Ethan Embry as the voice of Lee. Ethan Embry, for most people, you'll remember him from... he was in Can't Hardly Wait. He was also... most people probably want to forget this, but he was in Can't Hardly Wait. He was also in Vegas Vacation as Rusty Griswold.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was nice. Overall, Joyride, I can't believe, even though they're just kids, these Jokers would be that stupid to steal a nuclear vehicle. Like, Jokers want cash cards. Jokers want laughs and fun. And to have the lead, the kind of the lead Joker here go all power mad is just kind of uncharacteristic, in my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
So, shall we move on?
Yes, let's.
Tragedy in the world of technology today with the passing of Robert Vance. A pioneer in digital technology, Vance had recently been suffering from a debilitating brain disorder. Realizing there was no cure, Vance spent his final days creating a bold new computer program. By digitizing his brain impulses, it was Vance's dream to guide his company from beyond the grave.
Work hard, save your money, and remember, the customer is always right. There are many obstacles to quality, but don't let them... Scan.
I wasn't born when your file was set up. I'm your grandson, Bobby.
How long have I been in here?
Almost 35 years.
35 years? I imagine the world's changed quite a bit.
Oh, yes. My father, your son, he's gone. A heart attack. It just happened.
Ah, so you're alone now.
I'm the last of the family. I've got to run the company now, but I'm not sure I can.
Not sure? I was no older than you are now when I started the company.
I know, but you and I are two different people, and...
Now that's enough. Put me online.
All right, up next is Lost Soul. A newscast reports the death of Robert Vance, owner and president of Vance Enterprises, a powerful computer company. Knowing that he was dying from an incurable brain disorder, Vance took steps to safeguard his company's future by digitizing his mind into a computer program to act as helpful advisor to future owners. 35 years later, in the present, a young man enters Vance Enterprises and reboots Vance's program. The young man identifies himself as Bobby Vance, the elder Vance's grandson. I really enjoyed this episode. This episode is a really, really creepy, fun ride. I thought it was really great. I thought the plot was really interesting. You have at least one cool line from Bruce getting out of the cave the old-fashioned way. None of the Robins ever complained. Because he had to shut the computer down when Vance's program tried to break in. Absolutely love that. I love how even in cloaked mode, Terry tries sneaking around, and then that damn cat had to ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty awesome. But it was an ingenious way that Vance's program was actually in the laser blast because he got blasted into Terry's suit. That was a cool way to kind of transfer his program. Bruce in the Batmobile shadows, very awesome. Because obviously Terry in the suit with Vance controlling it, he basically sends Terry out to sea and Bruce has to come pick him up. I thought that was really, really awesome. This episode, while creepy, explores themes of whether you should really need to follow your ancestors' legacies or not. In some cases, yes. In this case, it's probably a good thing that Bobby Vance did not follow his grandfather's legacy. What did you think about Lost Soul?
Well, I do find it kind of weird that he would digitize his memory. That Robert Vance would. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a unique way of doing things, having a computer program have to try or basically take over the bat suit, take over the bat cave. I want to say it's been done before, or at least with the bat cave.
Ink, I guess you could say, when Terry was trying to...
Well, I'm saying trying to take over the bat computer.
Hardak, yeah.
Yeah, that was the last time something like that was done, so that it's the first time in Bat Beyond. So it's kind of interesting doing that. But I think it was stronger in a sense than the other episode.
Oh yeah, so far yeah.
I like whenever they kind of push the envelope like that though, and make Batman kind of vulnerable.
Yeah, the coolest thing about this episode, I'm going to skip the trivia for a second. The coolest thing about the trivia is, as we all know, Will Friedle is Terry McGinnis Batman. You have a Boy Meets World reunion in this episode because Ryder Strong is the voice of Bobby Vance. Very awesome. For trivia, the newscaster in the opening prologue clearly resembles Summer Gleason, though she is not voiced by Mari Devon. A character named Vance who bears a strong resemblance to Bobby appears in the Justice League Unlimited episode Task Force X, but his familial relation is never explained. Stacy Keach's role as the voice of Robert Vance mirrors his earlier role as Carl Beaumont in Batman the Mask of the Phantasm, and that both are fathers who realize they have limited time left and make plans to ensure their respective families' futures in vastly different ways, of course. The notable difference, however, is Vance's return to oppose Batman while Carl was merely suggested to. So, that's pretty interesting. What I do like about this episode is how everyone in this future for Batman Beyond is basically... it's clear. Terry doesn't know how to... Terry knows stuff. He's not a dummy, but... He doesn't know that, Cave is on manual. And then Dana even shows that later. Manual? On an elevator? I thought that was kind of cool that most of these people in the future are so used to relying on automatic things. It also kind of reminds me of Wall-E, where everybody's used to having machines do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on Lost Soul?
No, not really.
All right, we are going to move on to the next episode.
The GAT scores are in. I don't even want to know what I got. Hey, Max, what's your ID?
The last prime number before my birth year.
$2,400. You got a perfect score.
Yeah, well, it's just a number. Doesn't mean anything. Believe me, Ter, you're just as smart as I am.
Think so, huh? Let's see what he got. Incomplete? How'd he get an incomplete on the GATs?
Some emergency. I had to leave before the test was over.
Sometimes I get the feeling you arrange for these emergencies.
Near perfect score, Carter. Way to go.
Yeah, well, class president has to set an example.
With scores like that, you're a shoo-in for valedictorian.
Yeah, a shoo-in. So what if he didn't get top score?
What? Hey, Max. Congrats on the top score.
No big whoop. It's just a test.
Oh, don't be so modest, Max. Judging by your GATs, I'd say you could give Carter here a run for valedictorian if you wanted. I'm gonna go make sure there's no one else in the building.
Drag program Max Joker 1 to trash and empty.
Transferring program. Transferring completed data file.
Complete? No, wait! Cancel delete command, recover data.
Do you wish a printout of students whose records match your parameters?
You bet I do. My God. I don't believe it. Terry. A Joker?
All right, up next is Hidden Agenda. A businessman rushes to catch up with a vertical train. Once on board, he is terrified to find a gang of jokers are the only occupants. They begin terrorizing the businessman and then their leader. A man in zombie makeup, who calls himself Terminal, releases a set of vicious, razor-sharp gag teeth before the jokers exit the train. As the teeth tear at the businessman's clothes, he is driven to the door, falls out to the sky. Batman narrowly saves him. So, yeah, this episode is basically, oh no, it's the high school episode. Because at Hamilton Hill High School, the results for the standardized test, the GAT, are posted. The top score, a perfect 2400, goes to Maxine Gibson, leading many to speculate that she is a leading candidate for class valedictorian. Terry's test was left incomplete as he had to leave in the middle of an emergency. I do agree with Max, though. I think Terry is making up some of these emergencies to get out of classwork. I thought that was kind of funny that she pointed that out. This episode, I really enjoyed this episode for the fact that you have the Flash as a Joker, and you have new Jokers, because these Jokers, we haven't seen these ones before. These are all new designs compared to the ones we saw in Joyride.
Yeah, it definitely is. I really like that zombie Joker.
Yeah, Terminal, yeah, he's pretty cool. But when I said the Flash is a Joker, Michael Rosenbaum is the voice of Terminal, so it's very, very cool seeing him there. And Carter's home life, yeah, that sucks. I understand these types of parents that want perfection, but so glad my mom was never one of them. I mean, I did all right in school. I, you know, B's and C's, but I watch a lot of crime programs that have, you know, that predict these, that basically depict these parents who are A's. If it's not an A, it's you're dead to me, or this, that, and the other thing. And of course, in some of these crime programs, the kids come back and kill their parents, but whatever. It's not a good thing, but that's what this episode is. It's one of those things where the mother is like, well, it's not a perfect score if you don't, you know. It's just one of them things. Let's see. The Batmobile. It is a new, sleek, sexy import with turbo handling.
You would bring that up.
I love the way the Batmobile moves in this show. It is so friggin' cool. And I love how Max's search program, when she modifies it to find Jokers instead of finding Batman, it lists Terry at the top of the list.
I know, that's so weird.
And her program didn't even have Carter on the list. That's so crazy. But I do love the end, because Max does figure it out. And she says, "One thing, McGinnis, don't call me Robin." "No problem, Alfred." "Who's Alfred?" And I do like the music in this episode. It was... most of the Batman Beyond music is very ramped up rock music and kind of techno a little bit, but this one, it seemed like it was more ramped up to fit Terminal's character and to make him sound as threatening as he was. I really like that as well. What about you?
Well, I mean, like, Terminal, like I said before, he's more of an interesting... I think if they were going to have the Joker's return or using them, period, I think this would be the better way to go. But I like the aspect of Max figuring out that he is Batman, being that she's, you know, the only one that's kind of put the pieces together, like, hey, he disappears an awful lot. I still think it's kind of weird that, you know, nobody else notices that, you know, hey, it could be this Batman kid. You know, it could be Terry. But it's nice to see them add another character that adds to the dynamic of Terry and Bruce and their whole underground crime fighting.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we do have a bit of continuity. Deducing from Terry's quip, Bruce told him about Alfred. Production notes, this episode was produced after Bloodsport, even though it aired before it, which is why Max knows the which is why she uses the cover story about Matt, whom she met in that episode. With production inconsistencies, when Max is reading her email, she says one thing and the email says another after she finishes typing it. This is the first out of 5 episodes from which Bruce Wayne is absent, the others being Final Cut, Armory, Zeta, and Inkling. Interestingly, in the feature film Return of the Joker, Rosenbaum always, you know, comes back and voices another Joker, Ghoul, whose real name is given as Stuart Carter Winthrop III. So Stuart Carter Winthrop III could be, might be Carter Wilson's, I don't know, son, grandson, whatever. Let's see here. One of Matt's toys is a miniature of Superman's spaceship. That's funny. overall, I Hidden Agenda is very cool because I like seeing some of these high school stories like this. It's kind of, and this kind of gives, you know, more insight into Terry's life. It's not just him as Batman, it's him as himself. And I really enjoy that about it. Any other thoughts?
No, it just it kind of adds more to his personality instead of relying solely on him riding the coattails of Bruce. It shows in-depth background for him personally, and then how he has to react with people that he goes to school with.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move on to the next episode.
Slag him!
Yeah?
Your mother called. She wants you to pick up some milk on the way home.
Milk? That's gonna have to wait.
This was a tragedy. My life was over until I heard that the legendary Batman had returned.
Batman?
I'd always imagined this Batman to be an ageless soul, inhabiting the greatest warrior of each generation. If this Bat Spirit really existed, it would present the ultimate challenge.
You wanna fight, Dreg? Let's go!
Up next, we have Bloodsport. Oh, boy. In a Gotham hotel, a mysterious man is given the penthouse suite. He ignores the staff's various offers, claiming that all he requires is privacy. While he looks over the city of Gotham, a mosquito sucks some of his blood. Angered, he fires a dart from a blowgun, killing the mosquito with a grim accuracy. Meanwhile, Batman surveys a group of chop shoppers and starts his nightly business. While Batman fights off the thugs, Bruce mentions to him that his mother has asked him to run an errand on his way home. However, when morning comes, Terry is forgotten to do so and his mother scolds him for not helping her enough. Oh boy. I will say again, because this episode came before Hidden Agenda, as far as continuity-wise, I still like this episode for the home life it shows with Terry. For giving more background to him, but as far as the Night Stalker or whatever he's the Stalker, sure, he's voiced by Carl Laemmle, and that's kind of awesome because Carl Laemmle would go on to voice the Martian Manhunter John Jones in Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, but this episode is just strange. Like, this is like something out of the Twilight Zone type of thing.
Yeah, I didn't find myself caring all that much about this one either.
There are several things I have wrong with this episode that I did write down. Okay, I don't care how powerful the bat suit is. There's no way Terry's going to be able to release the hood of a car, whether it's junked or not. The scene in that scene, there was nothing really holding the hood down. But seriously, you're going to kick a hood up? Really? No. The Stalker guy means business. Not only did he tag Batman, find out who he really is, but he kidnapped Matt. I will say that this is kind of nice to see Terry's bat life interfere with his home life. This is most that we've ever seen of his mom and his brother. I'm surprised you didn't like the quip. It's a map, no, a trap. I will say again that I do like some of Terry's actions here, especially when he realizes that Stalker has kidnapped his brother and he comes in to fight him. He goes, "You want to fight, Dreg? Let's go." I absolutely love that shot.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, catching up to your demons can be a tricky thing. I really love the end of this episode where Matt is a huge Bat fan. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that makes Terry happy.
Yeah, even though Matt insults Terry himself. But yeah. Overall, it's another one of those episodes that's just kind of there. I mean, we get introduced to this villain, and he does come back, I think, one other time. But it's just like, I don't know. He's not even really a villain. He really isn't. I mean, he's not. He's basically the DC Universe version of, as you said, Kraven the Hunter. And it just, I don't know, it kind of fell flat for me. What about you? Any other thoughts?
No, I think it definitely falls flat. I mean, other than the moments with between Terry and Matt, I found the episode ultimately boring.
Yeah. All right, we are going to hit the last episode of this coverage of Legends of the Dark Knight after this.
Up to your old tricks, I see.
It's not what it looks like, I swear.
You want this back? It's all yours!
No! You can't!
Watch me.
Well, that's darn nice of you. But it's not enough now. Idiot!
Of gangsters and a pile of credits and jewelry, you say?
There were some gold ingots in there, too.
This brings back some memories.
Want to share them?
Sounds like you got a little too close to the Derby. It's a high-stakes poker game that's been floating around Gotham since before even my time. As you noticed, it attracts some of our most colorful citizens.
You'd think they could afford better security.
They probably figured no one would be crazy enough to try to rob them.
Ten's not crazy. Desperate's more like it.
Sounds like simple greed to me.
No, she swore that it wasn't what it looked like. She meant it. I could tell.
Ah, to be young again. And gullible.
Here's the ransom. Now let my family go.
Well done, darling.
Dad? Where are the Jokers?
There never were any Jokers. This was just a family thing.
Family? What are you talking about?
After the last time, we weren't sure of you. Weren't sure we could trust you. But you just proved yourself. Congratulations.
What's wrong, darling?
What's wrong? How could you do this to me?
Melanie, listen. Your mother and I love you very much.
But we needed to make sure you loved us.
You don't love me. If you did, you wouldn't have done this to me. And you never would have made me choose between the family and Terry. You would have accepted him.
You were too young.
Age had nothing to do with it. You were afraid I'd leave the gang. That's what it was. All I've ever been to you is an accomplice. Never a daughter. I just wish it hadn't taken me so long to realize it.
How sweet. A family reunion.
Wait!
Wait? For what? Check! Ace!
No!
Better choose your side, Melanie.
And choose well.
And finally is Once Burned. Up on a Gotham Skyrise apartment, a group of poker players grumble about the indecision of one of their players. Benny, the conversation indicates that they are all criminals. Benny claims he hears someone outside and sends his goons, Jasper and Jason, or Jason and Justin, or, yeah, it was Jason and Justin, to check. While searching, the goons are assaulted by Ten. The game continues and Ten tosses her own exploding card into the table. Taking the bet money, she quickly tries to make her get away, but the card glider is shot and destroyed. Trapped, she hides from the angry gang while shooting attracts Batman's attention. Batman arrives and throws a takeover to the players, but they continue their shooting. Using a gas bomb, Batman manages to distract the players long enough to allow himself and Ten to escape.
Catwoman!
Ten cats.
It's like a Catwoman plot.
It is. It is. Cat on a hot tin roof.
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No. Bad joke.
All right. So, Terry is not exactly altruistic in this episode. Terry is downright devious. He straight up lies to Dana. He lies to Bruce. He then cavorts with Melanie, a.k.a. 10.
He does more than cavort with her.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's... you know what I mean. I don't know. This is such a departure for... Okay, sure. I can understand in the first episode, the Royal Flush Gang episode, that, you know, at the time, Terry and Dana were quits. They were done. So I can understand, you know, Terry and Melanie kind of getting together and you know, finding new love, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But here, we see that he is back with Dana, and yet he's going to step out on her with this girl? I don't even think Bruce would have done that.
No, Bruce was pretty selective until they weren't.
Yeah. I did like to... I love seeing all the different Joker designs, many of them in this episode. And as you already said, this is pretty much a Terry and Melanie or Bruce and Selena, because my note was Terry and Melanie are fated to never be together, just like Bruce and Selena. And then the end plot is basically, well, we needed to know how much you loved us as a family. The Royal Flush Gang wasn't kidnapped. It was a setup from the beginning for them to test Melanie. And, I don't know. That's kind of lame. Yeah. I mean, I like the episode. I really do. But, yeah, it's pretty much a cop-out. Let's see here. For continuity, Melanie recalls and ultimately regrets having to choose between Terry and her family in Dead Man's Hand. Production inconsistencies. We have Lula shooting at 10 after her second break-in. Her gun changes shape and size between shots. The Joker that teases the splicer has the torch in his right yellow hand in the close-ups, but his left black hand in the wide shots. When Terry gets off the phone with Dana and Melanie 10 leads in to kiss him, her right arm moves through Terry's body. Yeah, bad animation error on that point. So here we go. Sarah, okay, yes, trivia. Sarah Douglas replaces Amanda Donahoe as the voice of Queen. Douglas played the Kryptonian supervillainess Ursa in the first two live-action Superman films. That's interesting. And also replaces Leslie Easterbrook as the voice of Mala for her second appearance in Superman the Animated Series. In the Joker's hideout, there are many Jokers from previous episodes. J-Man from Rebirth, Dottie from Rebirth, Smirk from Rebirth Part 1, Spike from Rebirth Part 1, Scab from Joyride, Trey from Hidden Agenda, So after, yeah, basically the last three Jokers, Trey, Tacko, and Weasel, are all from the Hidden Agenda episode. So that's kind of nice that they stuck around even though Carter didn't. Let's see here. You have George Lazenby returning as King. You have Daphne Zynga as Lula. Oh my god. You've got the Spaceballs princess as a criminal. Great. I do really love this episode, even though Terry is kind of a jerk and almost a cheater at this point. I still like the whole connection between him and Ten, and I like seeing the Royal Flush Gang. There's something different. They've only appeared twice, I believe. Melanie appears one more time after this. I don't think the rest of the gang... I think Melanie and Jack appear one more time. I don't think the rest of the gang appear. I could be wrong. But overall, I like this one. I thought it was pretty cool for the most part. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, it definitely showed that Terry could be a douchebag, but... and it's, again, another... Joker's episode.
Yep.
Despite the Royal Flush Gang, who, again, that's another set of characters I don't really care much for. I don't know. I see it better than a few of the other episodes we've done tonight, but I don't. It's again another one of those ones that I find myself not really caring about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of. I still like it for the whole 10 Royal Flush Gang kind of thing and the whole history between Terry and 10 and what we'll see in the future between the two of them. But I don't know. It's better than Bloodsport, I'll say that. So, all right, I think we're going to go to some ads and we'll come back to close the show, final ratings, all that stuff after this.
And now, through the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube, the computer has stories of the Transformers. Transformers Generation 2.
Wrong. This is not Generation 2. This is Generation 1. Done right.
The year will be 2014, and from secret staging grounds on two of Cybertron's moons, the valiant podcasters prepare to reclaim their reputations. September 17th, 2014, the TFG2 podcast premieres 45 podcast episodes dedicated to all 98 episodes of the Generation 1 cartoon, plus so much more than meets the ear. Join TFG1 Mike, Peconcourt Michael, Optimus Solo, and sometimes Steve Megatron as they redo TFG1 and get it done right. You can find the TFG2 podcast on www.geekcastradio.com and iTunes.
We shall rise again!
Are you looking for a weekly dose of gaming news and retro? And check out Off the Cuff, available Fridays on Geekcast Radio Network from the producers of XRG. New name, same.
Alrighty, we're back, and I guess let's rate these episodes for the night.
I can tell how enthused you are.
Just oodles of fun.
Yep. Joyride comes in last place. I did enjoy some of the things between Terry and Bruce and stuff like that, but it's an overall forgettable Jokers episode. Bloodsport comes in fourth place. Again, it just seems to be... It doesn't even seem to be a villain of the week episode, since the Stalker technically isn't really a villain. Sure, Terry had to stop him from kidnapping his brother, but I mean, the Stalker isn't like the Jokers or the T's or anybody else. But yeah, that comes in fourth. For third place, I will give it to Lost Soul. Really, really like that. Another thing I didn't mention in that episode, but the voice of Robert Vance, Stacy Keach, he is actually the narrator voice on American Greed.
Nice. This
is very cool, yeah. So Lost Soul comes in third. Hidden Agenda is Once Burned is second, and then Hidden Agenda is first.
What about you?
I'm gonna go in the same order, not just to be lazy, but because I generally don't care about most of the episodes, and Hidden Agenda would actually be my number one.
Next week, I don't care about at least one of the episodes.
Next week, we have Hooked Up, Rats, Mind Games, Revenant, and Babel.
Yes. Revenant is where Willy Watt comes back.
Boo!
Babel is a Shriek episode. Hooked Up is a Spellbinder episode. Rats is an episode that should have never been made. Much like that stupid Pixar film of the same name. So there is that. Overall, like I said, I'm still enjoying watching through these episodes again. I really enjoy watching them on the hub. I don't know why I do that, but I just do. But I also watch, in preparation for the show, I watch them on Netflix without commercials.
I'm still really enjoying the series. I mean, we've got some character development for Terry's background with his parent, with his mom and his brother, and we don't have a lot of background with Dana or any of the other school characters that much, but that's all right. And the villain stuff is pretty cool for the most part. Granted, this episode it was kind of all over the place.
Well, this episode it kind of fell flat, but I think it's also because it's the beginning of season two.
Yeah.
And generally, second seasons can start out a little slow because they're trying to get more of a footing of what they're looking to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they do get better as we go along.
Yes.
Anything else you want to bring up?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, close it out, Joker.
I'm not playing the Joker this episode. Alrighty, so thank you for joining us for Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at SCP21, and yours is, sir?
TFG and Mike.
And as we said before, join us next time when we discuss Hooked Up, Rats, Mind Games, Revenant, and Babel. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFG and Mike.
Saying in the immortal words of this episode, peace off.
Two, please.
46 credits.
Terry, if you need some credits...
It's okay, I got a few in my pack. I hope.
What's that piece of paper?
It's... nothing.